for the Orleans County Historical Association, September 2nd, 1982, Helen McAllister of Medina, New York is interviewing Mrs. Dorothy Roberts Cox of 115 Roseland Avenue, Medina, New York.
Why don't you ask me questions?
Okay, Dorothy.
Yes, it's simpler.
Okay. Dorothy, would you please tell me the name of your father and where he was born?
My father's name was Richard Roberts, and he was born in Llanstwnllyd, North Wales.
And how about your mother's maiden
name? My mother's name was Catherine Jones, and she was born in Pencraig, Sarn, North Wales.
Could you tell me?
I should have had.
No, it's all right. You should have had what? It's all right, yeah.
I should have given you the name of my father's home.
Okay.
Which was Pen Bont, which means the end of the bridge. And the Welsh people used the name of their home rather than their surnames.
Is that right?
Yes. My father would be Robert Penbont.
Oh.
My mother would be Catherine Pencraig.
Do they still do that today?
A great deal, uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. But originally, that's the way people's names are designated. Mm-hmm. Now, that is why you have five or six Williams, and they're not related at all, because they have changed over the years. The British government made them adopt a surname, which they hadn't had before. And therefore they took their given names and added an S. That's why you have Williams, Roberts, Jones, Hughes, Edwards, etc.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Dorothy, could you tell me about when your parents came over?
Well, they came when they were about in their early 20s.
Which would have been
And my father was born in 1863, and my mother was born in 1865. So it would be the early 1980s when they came.
I see. Okay, now, they eventually met?
They eventually met in Utica, New York, where my father's sister was living.
What brought your father to this country? What was his trade?
Well, he could cut stone. And he always said there was nothing you could do as a young man in Wales except work on a farm or go to sea. And he didn't want to do either of those things. So he decided to try America.
And he came over and was a stone cutter?
Yes.
Did he work in stone quarries?
He worked in stone quarries in several places. I can only recall the name of New London, Connecticut. Lambertville, New Jersey, Alexandria Bay area, and somewhere in the Midwest, but I don't know.
Well, your folks then were eventually married?
They were married in Rome, New York. Records are all destroyed by fire, as so often happens.
How did they happen to come to the Medina area?
And my father bought this house on Maple Avenue.
What was the number on Maple Avenue?
On 119 Maple Avenue. And he bought it from Robert Bates, who later built a home adjacent to the present Super Duper.
I see. Okay.
They were married in 1895, mm-hmm. and came immediately to the home on Maple Avenue, which mm-hmm. my father had previously purchased. Mm-hmm. They paid $1,500 for a home and 2.5 acres of land.
Oh, my word.
And they had a balance mortgage to pay off of about $600.
Dorothy, when were you born?
I was born in 1896.
Right, May 12th?
The month of May.
Right. Now, as we go along here, I'd like to have you tell us briefly about your schooling. You started school?
I started school at the age of 6 mm-hmm. plus 4 months at the Elizabeth Street School, which was a two-room schoolhouse mm-hmm. with grades 1 and 2 were in one room, taught by Estella Letts. Mm-hmm. Grades 3 and 4 were in the second room, taught by Catherine Tuohy. Mm-hmm. Of course, there were two outside...
Outhouses?
Outhouses.
Yes, our chick sales, as we say.
One for boys and one for girls. Mm-hmm. There was a large playground at the back. Mm-hmm. We brought our own lunch. Mm-hmm. and ate at the school. Mm-hmm. I walked the distance from Maple Avenue to the Elizabeth Street School mm-hmm. and returned.
How did you get across the canal?
A bridge crossed the canal at the end of the roadway in front of the stone house, which is out now occupied by the Blissett family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's on State Street.
On State Street.
Mm-hmm. State Street at the foot of Elizabeth Street.
Yes. And
made a nice shortcut for you, really. Yes.
There's another...
Shall we go on to your...
Later of them, mm-hmm. I attended school at the Oak Orchard School. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we walked along the west bank of the canal mm-hmm. and crossed another bridge, which was at the end of Church Street.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. That's now gone, too. When they widened the canal, they took that down, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Yes. And that was what grades would that have been?
That was for the grades 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. Ella Donaher taught grade 5, and I have no recollection of the teacher mm-hmm. for grade 6.
Well, I think you're doing very well to remember any of them.
She must have been a very dynamic personality, because I cannot tell you her name, one thing about her. From there, I went to the old academy mm-hmm. building for grade 7 and 8. Mm-hmm. That building has since been demolished, mm-hmm. and remnants of it can be found in different places in Medina. Mm-hmm. And a fine example of that is in the basement of the home on 113 Roseland Avenue. Mm-hmm.
I noticed the basement work is very unusual.
Very unusual. Mm-hmm. The man who supervised the laying of that stone was an Italian, a very handsome, tall Italian, who was named Nenni. I'm very sure mm-hmm. it was Nenni, but mm-hmm. I can't prove it. Mm-hmm. His family have later moved to California, and one of his sons, I understand, is
Well, then after you, a lot of kids in those days quit school at grade 8, but you did go on?
I had the kind of mother who insisted that I have an education.
Good. So now, did you stay in
the
same school?
So from there, we went to the lovely brownstone building, which faced South Academy Street. And there I finished my 4 years of high school.
And graduated in 1914.
I graduated in 1914, but went back for 1 year in order to have the credits in physics for entrance to Brockport.
That was what we called doing a PG, or postgraduate.
A postgraduate, yes. Which we never hear of nowadays, but it was the happiest year of my life.
And so that took you up to 1915, and you went into Brockport for 2 years?
I went to Brockport for 2 years and was graduated in 1917.
As an elementary school teacher.
Elementary teacher with supposedly a life certificate to teach through the sixth grades. It was in April of my senior year that war was declared. Shall I say that America joined World War I, which had been in operation for a year or two previous.
But your first teaching job...
My first teaching job was in Rosin, Long Island. The superintendent of schools of Rosin came to Brockport with the head of a teacher's agency, who was a very close personal friend of his. And the Rosin superintendent selected several teachers, and we could have the position if we would pay a fee to this agency. I was advised that it would be more profitable to pay the $50 agency fee and take a position on Long Island than to take a position in Western New York, because the opportunities of promotion would be greater. That is what I did. My initial salary was $650 for the year. And of course, with the deduction of the agency fee, it amounted to $600. But I paid about $8 a week for my room and my... So I had a few dollars left.
Yeah, I should think.
Not much, but I bought some new clothes.
What about your contract as a teacher?
The contract very definitely said that it would be null and void if I should marry during that period.
Was it also understood that teachers could not go into a bar, for instance, or was your personal life your own, or did they pretty much watch what you did?
I think we were very free, really.
The reason I ask is because I have seen
later
write-ups, yes.
Later those things, there were restrictions up here that teachers hadn't, couldn't go out of town over the weekend and things like that, but we never incurred anything of that.
That wasn't true in Long Island?
No, and it wasn't true here, really, I don't think, until we had that depression.
I see.
I think it came with that.
I see. Well, your first teaching experience was during wartime, and I imagine you probably helped the government sell war bonds.
We helped the government sell war bonds. We plucked ducks, which someone had shot, and the teachers went down and spent hours plucking these ducks, which were to be sent over to Mineola to the army.
Oh, how great. Was this
took Red Cross courses.
Oh, yes.
In first aid, of course.
Yes.
And I remember being invited into New York to one of the most fashionable nightclubs by the president of the bank. There were several of us, for dinner and the show in payment for our work.
Wonderful.
And selling the bonds.
Was this a part of the neighborhood house?
The neighborhood house was the place where we plucked the ducks. We took the Red Cross courses.
Yes.
And anything else we did that was toward a war effort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was centered in that mm-hmm. neighborhood house.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a chance to date any of the servicemen?
Well,
I imagine you did.
That was really a very exciting period because men who were in the service and were stationed at Mineola, they would contact a girl that they knew, and then they would come over and bring two or three other officers, of course. They had to be officers. They had to be at least second lieutenants, and they wore the leather leggings and the silver bar on their epaulette. And, of course, we wouldn't want to be seen with an ordinary private with the cloth leggings, you know. We would go into New York, and I could mention two or three. Donald Poehler, who was related to Marshall Logue,
mm-hmm.
Came over.
Mm-hmm.
A man that I had known in Brockport. They had both gotten their wings at Cornell.
Hmm.
We had quite a few dates with them, but as it so happened, you'd have a few dates and then he'd be gone.
Yes.
And someone else would come over.
Ship overseas.
George Ryan from Brockport came over.
What would you do on a date? Did you have dances?
Well, we had dances in private homes.
Mm-hmm. Did you have dancing?
We had a Victrola, and we danced and had light little refreshments.
Mm-hmm.
But they were always in private homes. Another one from Medina who came over there was Elwood Mack.
Mm-hmm.
His father had a drugstore in Medina over the years, and he was a graduate of Dartmouth College.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Morrison was a graduate of University of Michigan. Donald Poehler was a graduate of, I'm not sure, but he was a college graduate.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we were the cat's meow. Traveling around with these lieutenants.
Well, what about when armistice was declared?
Well, the armistice declared just at the height of the influenza epidemic. So, I never did get to New York. Several of my friends did that night,
mm-hmm.
but I was in bed suffering from the flu.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was out of school for a full month,
mm-hmm.
but they had a wonderful Board of Education. They gave us our full pay for that period. But practically every teacher in the school system had it. Some had it earlier and some had it later.
You were lucky you survived.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Dorothy, after your 2 years in Long Island, Did you change schools?
I changed after 2 years with the blessing of my superintendent because he thought it was an opportunity for me. And I went into New York and took the train up to Pelham and was interviewed and accepted a position as a first grade teacher in the Hutchison School in North Pelham. I taught there for 5 years and then was unfortunate enough to
You had an appendicitis,
yes,
didn't you?
And I did not work, teach for a year. I was in the hospital for 5 full weeks with a tube in my side because penicillin had not been invented then.
Your appendix had been perforated, right?
It was perforated. And I had, believe it or not, 2 nurses, a night and a day nurse, each one working 7 hours, and women. Be 12 hours for $50 a week. One came on at 7 in the morning and the other came on at 7 at night.
And your total bill?
Our total bill was $975, which included the surgeon's fee and the nurse's care.
Amazing.
And the hospital room for 5 weeks in Mount Vernon Hospital.
Now, this was in the fall of 1923. Times have really changed. Okay, did you come back to Medina after that?
I came back at about Thanksgiving Day. I was wheeled through Grand Central Station in a wheelchair. My mother had come down in the meantime, so we took a sleeper from Grand Central up to Medina.
On the train?
In those days, you could board your train in New York City. The car would be shunted off at Rochester, connected with the Falls Branch. You could stay right in your compartment, in the sleeping car, let's put it that way, until you came to Medina.
Those days are gone. I hope not forever.
I don't know. I'm afraid they are.
Well, so you came back here to 115 Roseland Avenue?
Oh, they had moved here much earlier than that. They moved here in 1911.
Yes. Well,
my father built this house.
Okay, let's just leave that for now. And did you stay here with your mother and father and recover here, or did you take a trip?
I stayed here to recover until the following fall, probably October, when I went to Florida with Mrs. Morgan, who lived on Frank Street, and had a shop in a hotel in Miami. And at that time...
What kind of a shop did she have?
She had a shop in which she employed about 12 women who were seamstresses. And she designed the clothing.
Now why, I know it was a thing to do to go to Florida at that time, but why did you happen to go to Florida?
I happened to go to Florida because Dr. Laverne Waters thought I might be susceptible to tuberculosis. In fact, he had sent me to Rochester for an x-ray. There were no x-rays in Medina at that time. And I remember it cost my parents $25 for an x-ray, plus the trip to Rochester. And they found that the lungs were all right. but he still thought mm-hmm. that a winter in the warm climate would be beneficial. Mm-hmm. And while there, I did a number of odd jobs. I addressed envelopes for the Chamber of Commerce. I addressed envelopes for the new paper, which was being established there, a tabloid by William K. Vanderbilt, Jr. I worked at a booth at the fair for a couple of nights, and then I was able to get this position at Miss Harris Private School. Hmm. And walked about a mile out to the school from my... And if I wanted to go to the school early in the morning, early enough, I could have my breakfast there for free. I could wanted to come back in the afternoon, I could have my dinner for free. And I have no idea what my salary was.
What was the school like? What was the house like?
The school was outdoors, and each grade was on a pavilion, a wooden base and screened in, circular.
Sounds nice.
Something like our gazebos.
Oh, okay.
Among the pupils was one I remember. She was the granddaughter of William Jennings Bryan, who had a home very close to Miss Harris School on Biscayne Bay. Mm-hmm. And occasionally we would see William Jennings Bryan walking in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. After you left there, did you teach in Scarsdale?
After I left there in the spring, when at that time everyone came north mm-hmm. in March, the end of March. We just had to go north. On the way home, I stopped in at a teacher's agency on Fifth Avenue and was interviewed by the superintendent of schools in Scarsdale, New York, Mr. Underhill, and was offered a position in the Scarsdale schools, which I accepted, and I taught there for 1 year. Then I had such glowing accounts of friends of mine who'd gone to Cleveland to teach. So I made an application out there and was accepted as a first grade teacher in the mm-hmm. Shaker Heights School.
In Cleveland?
Suburb of Cleveland. Mm-hmm.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland, Ohio. And mm-hmm. I was able to live downtown after the first of the year in an Allerton house, which was solely for young people who were working. It was built by a a man in New York City who wanted to have some place for young people, particularly college people, who were working. And this was to be sort of a substitute for a dormitory life. Mm-hmm. We had six stories, and a certain number of stories were for women and a certain number for men. There was an elevator for men and an elevator for women, mm-hmm. so that there was no connection between the floors occupied by the men and those occupied by the women. Mm-hmm. It was run in a very high grade fashion. They had a lovely library. In 27, with my mother's encouragement, I decided to go to Columbia University and take 1 year's work. I'm just...
I wonder... I understand that you taught in Long Island for 3 years.
I taught it way out at the extreme end of Long Island for 3 years. We were exactly 90 miles from New York City and 90 miles from Boston, and were able to cross from Greenport to New London and drive up to Boston as easily as we could go to New York City. That's immaterial, perhaps. Then I left Southold and went back to Columbia for my full year again. And following that, I accepted a position at a private school, the Columbia School for Girls in Rochester. Mm-hmm. And in September of 37, and then in February of 38, my mother died. But I continued to teach in Rochester and commuted by train and for the rest of the school year. Mm-hmm. I would leave Medina at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I would arrive back in Medina at 7 o'clock at night. My father would take me down to the train in the morning, and he would meet me at night.
Yes.
It was.
Well, this was a time of anxiety for the whole world, because I believe that, war was in the...
Offing.
Offing, yes. Mm-hmm. But you decided to take your first trip over to Wales, was
over
it?
To Wales, uh-huh, to see my family. In fact, I had saved $600 to go to Wales when I had that operation for appendicitis.
Oh, boy.
That's where that trip went. So I left here in August and traveled by train to Toronto and by train to Montreal and took the boat, the Montrose, to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And from then on I stayed with members of my family in Liverpool and in North Wales. Mm-hmm. And while in North Wales at Cricket, which is within sight of that famous Harlech Castle, mm-hmm, about which the Men of Harlech was written, and there my cousin took me over to the home of David Lloyd George. And war had been declared just a short time before that. And he had just arrived by train. He was very much perturbed about the Chamberlain government and unpreparedness. And he didn't appreciate my meeting me at all. In fact, he was rather rude. But Mrs. David Lloyd George was very, very gracious. Mm. And took me into the home and showed me different rooms.
This must have been exciting for you, because you have told me earlier when we were talking, Dorothy, that your father and David Lloyd George grew up together as young boys.
They grew up together in the little town of Llanstindwy. Mm-hmm. David Lloyd George's uncle was insistent on his having a good education. Mm-hmm. And it was that uncle who really shaped his life, mm-hmm, and gave him the opportunity for an education, mm-hmm, so that he could become what he did.
You said then that you got over there and they decided, since you'd landed, they were going to declare war. Was
I arrived there on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. And Sunday morning, we all gathered around the radio at my grandfather's home and listened to the declaration of war. Mm. England went to war Sunday morning. Mm-hmm.
3 days after I arrived. Mm-hmm. Well, immediately, I received correspondence from the embassy. Mm-hmm. I was told I would have to return on an American ship. Mm-hmm.
You were allowed to stay, though, and complete
yes.
your visit. Mm-hmm. Did the people of the countries in which you were visiting, did they have to immediately go on rationing or blackouts or anything
like that? I wouldn't
say
that they went on rationing. I have no recollection of that, but they did have to go on a blackout immediately. Mm-hmm. And there was a great rush to buy black material to hang mm-hmm. inside your windows mm-hmm. so that you could have a light on in the house. Mm-hmm. But that was only in certain rooms, you see. I remember my bedroom didn't have the blackout curtains. I remember going up there and undressing in the dark.
Mm. How long?
And I remember driving over the country road with practically no light, just a little crack, slit in the headlights. Mm-hmm. And looking out all over that country and not a light visible anywhere.
How long were you over there?
I was there almost 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. But you did come back on an American ship?
I came back. This is sort of a long story.